Welcome, everybody, to another Thursday night episode live of Strong Therapy. I'm here with your hosts, Brian and Carolyn Strong, coming at you direct from Rare Air Live Productions. How you guys doing over there tonight?
We're doing great.
Fine.
It's been a week. Mr. Strong has been working diligently still at that second job, so he's working. And I, on the other hand, have been tanning all week because I'm going to Austin this weekend. So
fun.
so mommy has a few things left over to do before the Austin trip. I'm very excited. I got to get my nails done. I'm going to do a double dipping, so I might look a little more ethnic by the time I get to Austin.
She's showing how pale I am. Me and the sun have an arrangement that we don't see each other often.
Yeah. So my week has been taking care of the kids, packing, and he's barely sleeping. And
I get the Bill Burr Burns, if you will.
he's been really busy. So yeah, a little hiccup this morning trying to get our great guest on today. I ran out of printer ink. I guess I'm gonna have to print shit out fucking the night before, I was just told, to make sure no errors like that happen.
There was a scolding.
Yeah, I got a little bit of shit about that. So talk about being married and fucking up. So anyways, we'll get over that and talk about that maybe later. Anyways, we have a great guest today. I'm so excited. I watch her on Instagram and Facebook, and I've never got to see her live.
A fantastic lady, if you will.
Yes, but I can't wait to see her live. Just things I've seen of her throughout.
Funny and whatnot.
Yes. Christine Meehan-Berg. She's so funny and sweet. Let's bring her in, Chris, if you could. Hey, beautiful girl.
Hello. Am I on?
You're on.
Sitting? Oh, hello. I haven't been sitting here too long. Got back pain. What's up? You guys fight more than we pretend to. This is constant for you.
It's fun. It's fun.
I don't know what that accent is, but it's definitely not the Mid-Atlantic or New York.
No, we're from Indiana. So when I call
Nobody
in,
knows where that is. I don't know why. You...
Right in the middle of the Midwest.
Middle of the Midwest.
Right in the middle.
Why don't you tell her on the map where we're at?
Do you have a map?
He's fucking with me because I'm not good at geography.
Okay, it's
right underneath Delaware.
Like east of Kentucky.
Michigan. It's I said Delaware.
Kentucky.
North. Yeah, we're above Kentucky.
Yeah, see? Northeast of Kentucky. I know.
In between Illinois and Ohio.
I'm glad you're smart because that kind of shit, yeah. You know.
There's only one reason I know where that kind of is.
You
know.
And your beautiful daughter will learn from you. My kids learn all the geography and smart stuff from him. I just paint with them and draw and that kind of shit.
Yeah, you don't do anything.
Oh, and teach him about makeup.
Girly things, yes.
We go get pedicures.
Not water, sweatshirt. I know you guys are, and you're going to Austin.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. Brian's not going with me this time. So, although I'm a good girl, I'm afraid with too much drinking. So this person has to make sure I don't get too drunk. This person has to make sure I make it back to the room safely. This one, and then I usually drink wine, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stick to beer because I had gastric bypass, so I get drunk really easy. So I'm safe.
Freaking lightweight over here.
Were you huge?
I was huge. I weighed about 260.
3 pounds.
3 pounds.
Well, I was only 20 pounds less than that giving birth. So you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah. And the only reason, Christine, that I had the gastric bypass was because I was having problems with fertility. And that was, I had...
Yeah, we tried for like 5 years and I was doing what I could.
And you asked me, before we started, you were like, you said, which one's your favorite?
Yeah.
My favorite, because she's the first, is Scarlett. because it took, it was so fucking hard to get to her. Do you know what I mean? Like, I lost weight to have her ass. Like, I couldn't eat anything.
I was giving her porridge
in little cups.
I didn't know I was going to get all this information about you, but I like it. Okay, here we go.
So,
before you started the show, you had a lot of things to say, but there was things that was said about me yesterday or something, and you can't just roll over that and think that this lady.
Okay, you're not going to forget. I'm not going to forget. So I saw on your Instagram you cut in the grass, and I called into the show and gave Aaron shit for you cutting the grass.
Busting his balls, she was.
He did not like that I had an opinion.
Does anybody know, I don't know what he told you about cutting the grass, but we get this Honda mower because I spent 2 hours talking to some wacko in Home Depot about like, oh, you should get some electric. 2 hours with a screaming toddler, like, I'm at Home Depot, overstimulated. Then I find out he gets me the Honda mower. Then I get the mower. We put it together. We get it all ready, the whole 9 yards. Everything's great. And then I do the edges because I grew up like a real good middle America kind of person. And so I know how to cut the grass. I'm real good at it. And he goes, well, can I already did the front. It's up on a slope. So it's really difficult to do. It's a lot of, it's good exercise, right? And that's why I do it. I love it. And I have a little bit of OCD. And then he grabs the mower. Oh, let me try. And I had already done the edges of the backyard. And he starts to go across the middle of the goddamn lawn. And I go,
oh, he's fucking the lines up.
Who raised you? Who did this to you? Who made you this way? What is wrong with you? Are you special needs? And I was just under, who does that? And I go, don't you see the lines? You line, what do you mean the lines? I'm like, oh God, I can't. It's mine. It's my lawn. Don't touch my lawn.
Well, now it makes sense because he said, Gino said that you liked doing the yard work. And then he said that Aaron was Canadian and he doesn't know about it.
No, it's and not that you Canadian. It's because he had a maid and a landscaper. And that way, a housekeeper, a nanny, and a landscaper. And Aaron has never touched a power tool until he met me. So you know what? I don't know what shit he was talking.
It was good shit. He mad at me.
He basically said that her opinion was about worth as much as a dick in a mouth.
Oh, good. Yep. Mm-hmm. That sounds right. And then he also posts videos of me in the worst state. Like anytime I take a video of him, it's like, he's so cute as a dad. And then he takes one video of me maybe every 3 months, and it's me in the worst state, getting ready to do lawn, doing lawn, pushing a mower in like my fat girl sweatpants with small shoes.
Your Sunday sleeping trash, comfy clothes.
The trash version. Why do you put, and every mother will tell you the same thing. The women always take these great videos of their husbands like, oh, look how happy. And then the men, when you get the picture of you, is like I got to have like my snaggle tooth out and my fat ass in the back.
All I've got to say is Brian doesn't usually post a fucking thing unless I've okayed it. Like, you need to get that with Aaron.
I try to avoid the wrath at all costs.
I don't have that much of wrath. I'm just like, what? Ugh. You gonna make me look hideous, bro? Come on.
Maybe.
I know everybody thinks you're hot.
It might be that he's worried that someone's gonna pick your little ass up.
Sure.
So he went. What do you mean, sure? Are you kidding?
There was a movie where they did that, like in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. There's like the girl keeps getting the guy ugly hats, ugly shirts because she wants no one to look at him at the bar. It's kind of a it's a very
exactly
true strategy,
it works a little bit.
Yeah,
so you know, I don't know, instead of getting me like a beautiful piece of jewelry, he got me a weed whacker for Mother's Day just to keep, you know, keep me
the reinforcement
ugly and
well. I was
now, when you cutting the slope, do you go up and down or do you go long ways?
I go side to side. I'm not an idiot.
Okay, good.
I mean, yeah, sometimes you got to go up and down to get, you know, to turn, but yeah, it's either way it sucks because it's,
yeah.
And Brian,
yeah, my grandparents had a slope that I had to cut, and I always did it the long way because it was a bitch.
Brian, I might just warn you not to contribute to some of the anti-Asian rhetoric that's been predominant these days.
I know you guys are going to go to that, but I'm not. I really believed I was Chinese when I was 3 years old.
I used to do that. Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees. Look at these. Do you remember that?
Something different, but you know.
I bet it's a Midwest thing. I don't know. Brian's looking at me. Like, the other thing is that lemonade. I think I'm kind of Christine. I think I'm more like Aaron in the fact that I don't like to cut the grass. Although our first year in our house, and I did cut the grass for a hot minute.
In our first house, I cut the grass on a broken foot.
Yeah. Wow. But then we've been in this house for 6 years, and it wasn't until last year I hurt my back. So that's why I think I messaged you or Aaron, and I said, get her a little boy just to cut her grass so she doesn't have to do it. I was like,
no kid will touch this grass until they know my expectations.
That's the best thing.
Wait till they're about 13, and they understand the lines and the importance of them. Yeah.
And then the other thing that I learned doing our like garden in front is I went from mulch after about what 2 or 3 years to river.
Yeah, I know mulch.
To river rock. And then you don't have to like fill it each
year. The river rock looks good. Also, you might want to think about getting a roller for the back of the Honda. That really makes the lines really stand out really good.
And then that beautiful little girl will play in the rocks, and then you'll be pushing the lawnmower, and a rock will fly across.
That's how they get those baseball fields, like one green and then another green, you know, the real distinct lines. Looks really good.
I've always wondered that, actually. It's a thing that you put behind the machine.
Than my husband naked. That is so sexy.
Get a video of that.
I could just go on YouTube and watch people make lines perfectly on a lawn.
Are you a little OCD?
Oh, not about, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I wasn't until marriage, child, moving into my own home. But now we have a glass table. I can't twist the camera so you can see it because then everything would fall apart in my setup. But people can't come in my house with a dirty glass table. Like, I can't go get the Windex. That's not, like, even a babysitter. Like, no, you can't. And then I'm a little obsessive about some things. Not everything, but some things. Like, my mom was very particular and very clean. Still is. She's not dead.
Gina would go, mom. Anyways.
Yeah, not like Gina's dead mom. So yeah, I grew up that way. Like, you know, I was raised by, my dad was in the military, not for long, but he was. So when we made beds and had to have hospital corners. So I grew up that way. So when my husband throws things and you can still see the sheets come, like the mattress, when the sheets don't, it's a problem. He rolls laundry, so just housework.
Oh, he rolls laundry? Now I will say this, when Brian does laundry, he is the Mac Daddy when he does laundry.
I am the official pimp of laundry.
He just doesn't have time right now.
If I had a pimp outfit with a cane, I'd come out of the laundry room with perfectly folded clothes.
And you would hear, bom, bom, bow,
My grandfather taught me the ways of laundry and stains and whatnot and when to use cold and hot and all that good stuff.
I didn't know this was going to be a housework conversation, but I like it because, you know what, these things matter.
It'll be all kinds of shit.
I just bought a kick-ass washer. It's a Samsung. I can talk to it with my phone. I mean, all right, start load now. It's awesome.
When he got it,
now goes, what's that sound? I keeps going off. Mom, you have to finish the laundry.
And you can just sit there and look and go,
quit talking to the washer.
It's done. Christine, I kid you not, we're riding in the car and he's bought this, you know, I'm not one to like want to buy a washer. I'm not one of those people. All of a sudden he goes, I bought a washer. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And then he shows me.
It's the spoils of this second job, I tell you.
I put the laundry in, and I said, is there a setting for like jeans? Like, can you let, he was like, yeah, I can make a special thing that every time you put jeans in, I push the button and it washes it the same way every time. And I'm like, what about towels? Yes. There's not just the dial for it.
You and then the the washer will tell the dryer how to dry it based on the type of load.
This was not supposed to be a porn show.
Isn't it hot? Laundry is fucking hot.
And on top of, is it a big washer? Is it a short washer? Is it a front loader? Is it a top loader?
Wait.
Front loader.
Front loader. With
oh,
an,
God, now you're getting it.
Wait,
now.
And it has five the cubic thing underneath to make it taller so you don't have to bend very much. You just have to kind of go.
Yeah, the pedestal's the way to go because, I mean, you don't have to bend over. And
This is called marriage sex, like laundry. Yeah. Just.
And then I tell the dryer, prepare for the load.
And I'm the one shoving the shit in.
To get on top of, right? Like, you can't.
Well, I need a little step stool because I'm only 5'1".
No, I mean for you too. Because if laundry's that hot and it has all these bells and whistles, you might as well hop on the spin. You know what I mean?
I could probably lean her up against it, you know?
Ooh, wait. I could I just spread my legs like I was doing it. I could straddle it somehow.
Here comes the spin cycle.
This is going to be when the Brian puts a phone call into the manufacturer, like, what's the capacity? And they're like, sir, it's listed on the inside of the door. He's like, no, on top of the unit. Like, what can we
extra spin?
Yeah, what's the weight-bearing limit of this?
Oh, yeah. Anyways, we have all kinds of things, different things to talk about today, but laundry.
It's called tangents.
Yeah. You want to segue into this one? Because I'm the worst.
That's all you. Okay. I'm just here to be dumb.
So, Christine.
Oh.
Ooh, it was that ring. Sorry. I like giving him a little bit of pain. So with you do comedy in New York. I see that we talked about that you've got something coming up in Delaware. When you said Delaware, I'm going to let you. What do you got going on in Delaware?
Oh, I have. So I've been producing a summer series type of show down in Rehoboth, Dewey Beach, really. Dewey Beach, mm-hmm. Delaware, in my hometown. And it's the 8th year, I think, that we've been doing it. So June 15th. I opened the series with Aaron, so we're going to go do that. And then it's a fantastic place. It's the kind of place that Dewey Beach is a block to the ocean, and then there's like this bar where it's the strip, and then it's a block to the bay. So it's just, you know, there's
nice little spot.
It's beautiful, and there's a strip of bars, and a lot of people will come from like DC and Philly and all these places. And they'll go to this bar, the Starboard, and they'll never go to the beach in the entire weekend. But it's, you can spit on the sand and from any place, but people don't go to the beach because they're just there getting shit canned wasted all weekend long. So this is what, and I, you know, I'm, you know, college kids, it's the college town without the college. This is where the place is. It's called Starboard. It's amazing. They've got great bands and things usually, but we've been doing this Tuesday show every summer, and it starts June 15th, and it goes to, I think, Labor Day, not after Labor Day, but right before.
That sounds like
kind of like Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Not after that. There's no more dancing. You need to go follow Patrick Swayze. Didn't he die? Anyway, so we have that show, and I'm there once a month through the summer, but the first date is June 15th, and Aaron will be with me. So
nice.
And then I'm doing Idaho. I'm in Idaho, May 20th.
Bring back some potatoes.
Yeah.
She said Idaho.
We are Idaho.
I'm not going to be the hoe out there. You know, you can't bring home boiled potatoes.
No,
you know?
No, boils are bad.
Yeah, boiled potatoes.
Boils are awful. Fuck boils.
I suggest baking them.
Ew.
All the double entendres.
Now, I love the idea. I also saw that you've been working on a children's book, and I love this idea of being an artist myself. I've tried to talk to my daughter about my 10-year-old. She likes to write a lot, and I've been trying to collaborate with her, like to get her to like try to write a little story for kids, and then we both
on it.
Hmm.
so you can make money on it.
And then I can do the artwork, or we can do it together. Like, I thought it would be fun.
That's a
but
great idea.
But she's a little procrastinator like her mom. But tell me about what you've got going on as far as that's concerned.
The Giggle Wiggle Piglet is a children's book for, I would imagine, like children from kind of Piper's age, 3 to maybe 5. And it's a story, it's the comics mentality where Giggle Wiggle is a very cute little guy who apparently doesn't listen to his mom. So he runs out and he doesn't prepare for the day, and he slips and he falls into a puddle, which is where pigs kind of belong.
Yeah.
Right. But then, you know, all his friends watch him. It could be this terrible thing, but then he remembers something that his mom said, which is like, you know, you can, instead of being upset about this situation, you can laugh at it. And then his friends are going like, why are you laughing at, you know, being in such a mess? And he goes, well, you know, I figured it out. It's nothing gets better if I scream and pout, right? That kind of thing. And that you can laugh along too. So, you know, just giggle along with me. So he gives himself a wiggle and then it makes him giggle and his problems go away. So he shares it with his friends and then they end up, they slip in the mud too because they're laughing so hard. Then it becomes this big mud party. And my kid, honestly, was the end. She helped me figure out the end of the book because I've read it to her so many times. And she's got the thing in her mind. And she goes, Mama, there has to be cake. And I go, you are correct. So at the end, like, he gets the biggest pie because he got everybody to laugh along with him.
Aww.
So that's, like, the lesson is really good because I think children are never taught to laugh at themselves or allow people to laugh at them. And I've watched that from working with kids for so long. So I'm like, share a little bit of the wisdom of being a comic.
Yeah.
With the generation that I think they're so intense. I think they have to be so perfect. I think that they have a lot of pressure on them day in, day, like,
to be perfect.
To always have it together. And kids are not allowed to be a mess anymore. And I think that's really unfortunate. We're putting, you know, a lot of expectations on children that don't necessarily need that. Like, of course, we want them to be smart, but we also need them to be flexible and, like, you know, and be gross and be and laugh with her. You know, like, if a kid falls, they don't typically like, they look at each other like, oh, what do we do? You know, of course,
rub some dirt on it.
You rub some dirt on it. Yeah, exactly. So finish the book. It's not illustrated. I do have a sketch of the character, and then we're just shopping it around to publishers and literary agents. So I'm on the hunt for that.
Well, all stories should end in cake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Star Wars, when they blew up the Death Star, they could have had cake.
Yeah.
Every kid's story should end with cake.
Yes, exactly.
Luke would go, we'll have cake!
Let them eat cake!
Yeah.
That sounds so sweet. I can't wait to see once it's all finished and you've got a publisher. And I love that you had your cute little toddler involved. That makes it a
What's
sweet...
the book that David Bowie did? Was it The Snowman? That was illustrated pretty cool.
No, don't know.
There's a lot of snowman books. Is it just The Snowman? Is it about cocaine?
No, it's literally a snowman. It's a children's book. It just look at it for the illustrations. I would suggest just taking a peek at it because it's really cool.
One foot fun children's...
Is it because David Bowie is so white?
Yeah, David Bowie
is very white.
Yeah, he has two colored eyes too, or he did.
I know that there's a book I really liked. I used to work at a library in a children's department, and you'd think I'd have all these books to like throw out to you. But one of my favorite to read to toddlers and preschoolers was Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus by Mo. And I would be very animated and have them like scream at me and like, kids love interaction. Kids love anything about cake. Like that would go over like so well. And the fact that, you know, and he was pointing to me about you know, my girls and how I'm probably a perfectionist sometimes.
And she believes like that, that they need to play in the dirt and get dirty and not be afraid to get, you know, hurt or.
And you know, when you're at a restaurant with your kid, I see that you guys go to eat because you have, you're on the road a lot and she's with you. And think about when they accidentally spill a drink, you know, or spill their food. Most kids' reaction, which is sad to me, is they look directly at their parents like, oh. And I, one of the things that I always come back with is, you know, mommy spills drinks all the time. And it, she's had too much wine. She did a little cocaine. No, but the last time we went to go eat or something like that, I spilled the drink. And after I did it, the girls were like looking at him like I was going to get in trouble, you know, like, and I started cleaning it up and I said, see, I told you guys, even mommies spill drinks and it's no big deal. It happens. Like, we don't have to be that way. Like, oh my God, you spilled drink. But mind you, if you make a glass coffee table all messed up with.
I mean, that's a different story. That's my psychosis like that, right? But she's free to do, she makes mess in the house all day, like, but she has to clean up after herself. Like, oh, people are coming over, let's make sure all the toys are in your room. Or if I, oh, you know, it's a crazy mess in here, just to kind of put, you know, where things belong. And no, I mean, I don't want her to wreak havoc, but if she spills and has an accident.
And that, and I think that's what it is that even I had that anxiety when I was a kid. I remember all kinds of different bullshit that I did. One time, you know, remember the big tube TVs that were like huge in the 80s when they came out, they're as big as your living room and they had those lines in it. My sister and my brother-in-law bought one and I went over and I was being nice.
It was a projection, the big giant projection TVs, yeah.
And I thought I'd be nice and I was straightening up for him and no one was home. And I used Windex to clean that fucking thing. Okay. And I stood there and I was like, saw the issues, all the Windex stuck at the bottom. And I just left. I got the fuck out of there because I didn't know what my brother-in-law was going to do. I cried.
Looked all stained.
Yeah, it made it looked brown at the bottom at different levels, like a fucking bar graph. I just fucking left. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I'm crying the whole way home. And my niece, she comes home, sees it. She calls me and she's like, what the fuck did you do? And I said, well, I was trying to be nice and I cleaned it up. So she, thank fucking God, she was smart and 4 years older than me, got a hair dryer and blow dried it till her dad got home so he didn't know. But like 2 weeks later, he found out and he's like, she's never fucking coming over here unsupervised again.
I understand this, but look, this is the kind of thing, like, everybody has that person in their family that tends to shit all over their home, right? Like, I could tell you, there's like four stories, the trajectory of my life. Like, it started, my mom was, I think I took my diaper off and I like wiped the couch with it at 2 years old. And then my mom came, you know, with like the bucket and the brush and the whole thing. And then as she's cleaning it, I took the bucket of shit water and I pulled it down on my head. So now I'm covered in shit water. The couch is covered in shit water. My mom's like, she's like, I just sat down and cried. That's it. So that was number one. And then number two, all the things through childhood. Number two, I saved a dog on Christmas morning. I was driving in the middle of the country to get to my sister's. I see this stray dog, like this poor lost puppy. And then I don't have a car. So I'm borrowing, I think, my sister's and my brother's cars, like here and there. And I take the dog back to my sister's home, which is like perfection. The house is perfection. Her 2-year-old used to wipe up his own drool off of the floors. So like that, if I have OCD, my sister needs to be committed to an institute. So this is the kind of, and you can't wear stilettos on her floors like that. So I bring a dog and my sister's like, you can't keep this dog here. You got to go find where that dog lives. So then I took my brother's car and I take the dog to houses. And then the dog locks me out of the car in the middle of a snowstorm, 3 feet of snow on the ground. It never exists in Delaware. Then it starts to rain. Nobody's at this person's home. I have to climb through a doggy door, and I'm trying. The dog, there's like medications in the back seat that the dog is trying to eat. And I'm like, my brother's medications. I'm like, I don't know what the hell he's on. I don't know what he's going through, right? Could have just been, it could have been anything. So I'm thinking, oh my God, the dog's gonna die. Then I'm trying to pry the door open, right? So then I didn't break into the house, but I went into the doggy door. Alarm goes off, cops come. And then they have to get the car open. Now, mind you, I'm having a fall because I'm like, I wanted to save this goddamn dog. Then I bring, so then they take, they're like, who are you? I didn't have any identification.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas. They talk about this goddamn dog and this whole story every Christmas. So, and then years before that, I'm smoking a cigarette. This one is still smoke cigarettes. So I appreciate you. But I had one time, my sister had this brand new house, the same house, but this was years prior. And I'm like hiding, smoking a cigarette because I'm the trash bag sister that still smokes cigarettes, right? I put the cigarette out in the mulch. I walk inside, and then all of a sudden, they're going, there's a fire. I run out. It's my goddamn cigarette. I put the fucking flames out with my bare feet because I need to. I need to. So, like, I'd rather burn my feet than ruin my sister's mulch. Do you understand?
That's like, called it's owning like it.
That. So,
right? Yeah.
Like, the cold is so cold. Remember that one? I'm that person. So giggle wiggle for sure.
This is why I love you. I knew we had so much in common because I fucking caught our mulch on fire with a cigarette.
No, no. At a what the hell is the place called? Chuck E. Cheese had mulch in front.
No, and I did it out front.
Okay. Yes. All of a sudden, it also happened at a Chuck E. Cheese. I had to stomp that fire out because the mulch caught on fire by some guy who flicked a cigarette in there and it went on fire. And I was like,
We had only been in our house maybe 2 years. And the cherry rolled over where I had put the cigarette out to our mulch. And I was inside. And then I looked out the window and I saw fucking smoke. And then I ran outside and I was like, going like, fuck. I didn't click because, again, I'm not very smart all the time. So I'm like doing a stomp, like trying to put it out. The kids are freaking out because they're like little. And then Scarlett, our oldest, because she's smart.
Oh, I remember
she
this.
She went, Mom, you tried to burn down our brand new house. And I was like, you little motherfucker. And she wanted to tell him.
Oh, so you're trying to burn down my house. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do because I am so jealous of your home in Delaware in the sticks. Then I now need to set your mulch on fire. That's like, in what world would I, does anybody know who I am? You know, like you grew up with me. I never wanted to. I did put lipstick in white jeans of hers that I took from her and borrowed. And then I ruined a whole entire
load
of what, speaking of washers, of white clothing, just had splats of this whore pink all over it. And like, maybe I shouldn't have stolen that pink whore lipstick too. But like, I didn't do it on purpose. I just dropped, you know,
I have three sisters. My sister,
she doesn't check the pockets either on washing.
Oh, he's trying to fucking start a fight before I go to Austin.
That mistake again.
Also, it'd been funny if the policeman would have said, "Why do you have a coyote in your car?"
See, is it weird? Like in my, like with me and my girl, I don't do the laundry, like folding and putting away, but I do all the washing. Partly because I don't hate it, so you got to pick one you like. But I don't trust her to check all the pockets. Like, she leaves stuff out everywhere sometimes, and like, she's young, she didn't have to deal with that all the time growing up. So I'm like, I think I can, like, you know, I wouldn't want to lose some of what I'm carrying around. I'm a pretty careful guy. So
like, if it's money, it's fine. But if it's, I don't know, like, you don't know what's in those pockets.
Like, what a pen? Yeah.
Pills.
Expensive items. You know, pen.
I'm just staring off into space.
Eyeliner?
Because I can hear my mom going, if you don't fucking like the way I do it, then fucking wash it yourself. Yeah.
I did laundry at like 10. I was doing my own laundry at 10.
See, that's why I said earlier, I think I was a little bit like Aaron. I was spoiled a little bit. Yeah. My parents were a lot older. And my mom, like, would have someone come in once a week and clean.
Hello.
And she would.
Hello.
She would do the laundry. And she never taught me how to do the laundry. Like, she never did. Now, my sisters all knew. It was like she got fucking tired when she had me. Because
yeah, you were the baby.
Yeah, she was 42. My dad was 44, my mom was 42, and they had me. So by the time, and talking about stories that gets brought up every fucking time you're around doing one.
And this is 70s, 40s.
So my mom, my cousin had twins. Now, I knew she was pregnant, but I didn't know anything about that she was pregnant with twins. So she's in this cute little apartment, and she's coming down the steps, you know, those straight, and she's carrying two babies. And I walk in the door and I look up, if this tells you anything why I like to cuss, I went, well, goddamn, mom, there's two of them. And I was like six. And every time I go around all those people in that side of the family, that story gets brought up every time. And I don't remember getting hit in the head or whipped or whatever.
Well, it's too late at that point.
I think they just thought it was fucking hilarious. They still like... I'm 45 now and I'm still baby C that said, God damn, mom, there's two of them. You know, I mean, then people will say, your mom just lets you do anything. Like,
yeah, of course. Well, I was just always the problem. I think I was just the mess, right? Like, so in that, like, I had to figure out how to not be a mess. Maybe that's where the OCD came from, but it happened way later.
So I think that's
garbage in my life.
Do you ever?
Do you do the lines in your carpet as well when you vacuum?
If I had that much, if I had a lot of carpeting, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Kirby's do really good lines.
He was a Kirby salesman back in the day.
Did that too, believe it or not. Like in between a year of high school or college or something like that.
I was good at it, but I couldn't do the credit check. You know, you kind of talk to them like, hey, you know, I got credit card bills. Don't they suck? And they go, I don't have any credit cards. Well, I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Yeah,
they have you do some sketch. Like, did the people that had you doing it also make you, after a sale, remove the incumbent vacuum from the home so that they couldn't, like, it said it was harder for them to regret the purchase and return it? The vacuum would be stashed at the sales office for like 30 days in case they wanted to return it and get their old one back. But you know, it's like, who wants
to
go
through that? The old one?
It was so weird. I had to quit like quick because it was ridiculous.
It was part of the show, if you will.
The vacuums were good, but here's what I learned, which was funny. I mean, I've been in sales most of my career, except for doing this. And you know, usually a company sends you in on the pretense of like, we're going to send our salesman over or et cetera. This was, they called up houses and were like, hi, we're a new cleaning company in town that deals in home cleaning. We'd like to offer one free room of cleaning in exchange for, you know, we'll give you a presentation on our services. And they're like, okay. So they at least know it's a solicitation. But like when you go there, they don't tell you that as a salesman. Like you think at least with that ammunition, I could go in with more of a strategy. No, they just, they don't tell you that. And you go in there and you clean a carpet, you clean the bed. I'll be honest, they do a good job. I don't know if I'd get one today because you could probably get as good for much lighter weight. But they, back, you know, 15 years ago, it impressed me a lot, like work-wise. But yeah, if you made the sale, this thing was worth like what, Brian? $1,300?
$1,495.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not exactly like an easy sell. And then you close the deal and they want you to straight up take the fucking vacuum of the person with you in your car so that it's like, think of if you buy a mattress, they have like a however many day, 100 day money back, you know, guarantee. But like, what have you done with your old mattress? You're not going to stash it for 3 months in the side room while you decide. You know what I mean? So, you know, kind of.
You shame them. Well, you shame the shitty vacuum, right? And you take it. You relieve them of the shitty vacuum.
Yeah.
Right.
Take it away from them because that's a piece of shit and they don't need that in their life.
It's garbage.
It's so OD. Like, I'm so thankful I got it to like other sales after that, but
we have two in our house.
I could sell the shit out of them. It was just I didn't like the shady part of trying to credit check him and shit and not be, I didn't like that. And I'm like, no, fuck that shit.
I think I became such a clean, I clean houses with my mom. So when my mom, when I was very young, my mom cleaned out scrub toilets, for a little while. She had three kids under the age of six, single mom for a little bit. And that's what she had to do. So I learned at a very young age, you clean. I didn't know it was, not the best job in the world, but whatever. When I was a teenager, my parents were contractors. So they did a lot of new construction. My dad did the plumbing and heating contracting work. And then, so he had these big teams of people. And so at one point we're like, hey, if the girls make extra money, they can clean these brand new construction homes. And we would have to get, razor blades, not to cut ourselves, but to, thinking about it now, I'd fucking cut myself, but get the spray paint off of the windows, with a razor blade. Mm-hmm. And so you had to do such a pristine,
immaculate job.
So once it was move-in ready. So when I got my new house, I did that exact same thing. I scrubbed and shined these floors five times.
When you showed that picture, see, I follow you. That picture of your beautiful room with that hardwood floors, I was like, damn.
Yeah, the vaulted room is really cool. I like that.
So lovely. And it doesn't have that much furniture in it. So it's just kind of, it's palatial, but it's clean. It's when you walk into a home, and that's kind of how I felt with my husband, get it ready. He did not have to be here. And my kids sat for 6 hours while I scrubbed the cabinets. I don't know who's living like these people lived, but they're trash. You do not, at some point in a couple of years, you got to scrub your cabinets. Because if you have trash like cabinets, you should be ashamed of your life.
What did you find?
Just
grime.
An atrocity.
Have any of you worked in a restaurant kitchen?
Yep.
Is it like that where it's like the grease adheres to the wall kind of thing? And it just takes maybe a few more years than if you're in a pizza shop? Because I've been in some houses where you see stuff like that. Or I used to work at a car wash when I was 16. And especially people who smoke in their cars, when you would just wash the insides of the windows. I mean, I wasn't and am not a cigarette smoker. It's that's the one thing I totally listened to mom and dad on. But, if I was, that would have been compelling to stop. Just washing the inside windows.
I'm making that face because Brian is a non-smoker and I'm the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
My mom smoked when we were kids too. And so, because she was a cleaning lady, at 8 or 9 years old, we had to wash the walls and they would be brown, the wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the chores that we had. I always grew up with chores. How do you not, if you have three kids and you don't have your kids working for you, what kind of mom are you, right? They need to do stuff. But I remember they would
be, I'm a shitty mom.
You know what? You got to get them to work, man.
You know what my kids, the fuck my kids say? This morning, this is an example. One of our children, I fought to get up to go to school. Fucking fought for an hour to get up off her bed. And she comes down to the steps and she says to her older one, go get my shoes. My older one said, no. I said, go get your shoes. I bet they're upstairs in your room. I just got down here on the steps and my body hurts. Now it's taken me a fucking 45 minutes to get her downstairs. So I said, Scarlett's not going to go get it. You need to go get it yourself. So then she doesn't want to brush her hair for school. And I said, come here, I'll brush your hair really quick. You need to brush your hair every day. Now she's nine. She's nine now. And 9 fucking years old. Then we're on the way to school and she goes, I just can't remember to brush my hair. And I...
What you saying? As a comic mom? Fine. Don't have friends.
I did. I said, you're going to be the stinky.
Be the ugly one.
Because I did. I said, you're going to be the stinky one because you don't want to take a shower. You don't want to brush your hair. You're going to look homeless. What the fuck? I said, then eventually school's going to call me, Christine. And then they're going to be like, you're not taking care of your children. No, they won't fucking. Did you go through that phase of not brushing your hair? And like, I don't remember that.
Yes. Oh, never. Do you see how much I care about this hair?
Yes.
I mean, that. I'm like, it's always been the best. Never. No, this hair. No, no.
My hair was taken care of. My boobs were ready. I had, do you know what I mean? Like on fleek almost all the time. Like when I got them. Now
I got the wash and wear.
Motherfucker.
Also, 409 works really well on cigarette tar, getting the brown off the walls. Because I used to listen to The Cure and wash my grandparents' walls with 409, and just because they both smoked. She smoked Bel Air and he smoked, what were they?
My mom smoked Merits.
My mom smoked Virginia Slims because she
had fun. Oh, those are the sexy ones. Like the
sexy long ones, yeah. Trying to get a husband. Oh, yeah.
Like the Cruella DeVille one that goes in the end of the stick, right? Yeah.
I remember, and this is probably why I smoke. I thought, you know, it was cool. And I always liked in movies, like where they had the long thing with the cigarette on the end. Mm-hmm. And anytime I would find them, I'd make my mom buy them, and then I'd put the candy cigarettes in the end. So she was encouraging it too.
Your mom bought you cigarettes.
I'd be going. I loved it.
Yep.
And I still love it. I can't help it.
Yeah, but see, it's different now. Like you smoke, but you probably say roll the windows down in your car if you smoke in there or something. Like I remember, like when I was, I guess it's a little before my time, but like people smoking on airplanes. Hospitals, offices.
Remember the ashtray and the armrest?
Yeah, like on the. I mean, listen. Even though I don't smoke, all my friends do. I don't mind if I'm at a party or a bar and people are smoking. I accept that; it's no big deal. But if I'm on a freaking airplane, like, I don't want to be eating dinner and have someone blowing smoke on my face or on a fucking airplane. I mean, that's another. Well,
no, I am a.
Paid attention to that before. It wasn't a. You know.
I try to be a courteous smoker. Don't you think I'm a courteous smoker? Like, I'm embarrassed to smoke on the podcast a little bit, and you'll, like, see me. I'll smoke a little bit. I usually smoke the whole cigarette.
She'll, like, sneak in like Johnny Carson used to.
And then I'll go, and I'll put it out. And then I wasn't going to, but my nerves got the best of me. And then I saw Robert.
Look at this stylish ashtray.
Robert Levy smoking on his. And they're ashtray. Don't show him the butts. That's gross. But I saw Robert Levy smoking on him, and I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to be myself. Like, this is me and my nerves. Occasionally, I need a fucking cigarette. And if people out there don't like it, that's your opinion, but I'm not blowing it in your face. I might blow it up your ass.
Oh, I had one boyfriend. He's dead now, but he...
Did you kill him?
No. It was drugs. But he used to, at like the height, I think, of the, I couldn't put my finger on that he was on drugs, and I couldn't prove it. But so I would go into, speaking of going into somebody's pockets when you're doing the laundry, we lived together, and he smoked Marlboro Lights. And then when it got real bad, he did Marlboro Reds. But what he would do when he was so messed up, he would take, I don't, for whatever reason, he would take like the end, the butt off of the cigarette of whatever was left, and he would, because he had finished it, but then he would put that butt in his pocket. So when I was looking for drugs, instead I would find used cigarette butts, which is the worst smell.
It is.
Because it's like all the
worst. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, because I think he was thinking he was saving the planet or something, because he was on a lot of drugs.
I mean, I've heard of people doing that with a joint, and even that smells bad. And I like weed, but like even that smells
bad. I don't
bad
even
enough.
Like
cigarettes,
to put
horrible.
I don't like to put, like, say we're in a setting where I go outside to smoke and there's not an ashtray. I don't like to put any butts or any leftovers in my purse, because then my purse smells like it. Like 2 days later, after I've cleaned it out and everything, and I lift the lid off, I'm like, oh, and then I have to wash my purse. Like I can't, but yet
I do you fling cigarettes in the yard? Or driveway.
So anyways, he's trying to fucking really make me piss before I go away. It's going to be like, Carolyn got real drunk.
Cigar butts everywhere. And the cigar wraps, like the...
My father's.
Yeah, like people drop the guts out the car when they roll or something. So there's always guts laying around in the curbs and stuff. It's a... The there's a guy that lives down the block from me, like an acquaintance of mine, and he is deeply mired in a heroin addiction. And I'm on a second floor window, and my friend across the street smokes a lot of bogeys on his stoop. So of course he throws them in the curb, you know. And I'll just spy my dude from down the street. He knows that my friend smokes a lot or whatever. These guys know each other. So he's always out there scooping the butts and relighting them out of the gutter. And I'm like, man, like if I had extra money, I'd almost just like buy him a pack of cheapies or something. But like, I'm, you know, it's not in my.
I wonder if he got.
It's like a generation cigarette.
Well, I mean, yeah. I wonder if he got COVID really early.
I don't think you can get COVID if you do that. Funny fact is he's a doctor, medical doctor, MD after the
name. The heroin guy?
Yeah, MD after the name. So the funny thing is like, I think if you fuck around that much, you can't get COVID. Like, you're impenetrable. It's like that George Carlin joke about swimming in the East River so no one got polio. Like, I feel like it's that level of temperament or whatever. But
yeah, he probably does it now so he doesn't get drug sick.
I don't know.
About cigarettes, but look, there's, you know, I have a friend who's, she's half Asian. She is the most gorgeous person you've ever met in your entire life. She is the sweetest, funniest girl. We've been friends a long time. We were driving in New York one day and she had come up to visit and she looks at a homeless guy like getting food out of the trash and she goes, you know, I'm really jealous of the homeless people because they can go into trash cans and pick other people's food and eat it without judgment. And I'm like, this girl will go into people's homes, open the fridge and just eat the entire fridge. And then people shame her about it. So she's real upset that people shame her, but she's just like, that's the same. She's got like homeless guy mentality.
Have you ever heard of freegans? Like as in vegans, but freegans? Think of exactly what she just alluded to. Like a non-homeless person, usually gainfully employed and often even owning a home, not even just renting, but who makes a regular activity of dumpster diving for food. And I don't mean necessarily on the level that you see a homeless guy or gal doing it. They go to the grocery store dumpsters and try to get the stuff where like they just threw out the produce. They just threw out the day old, you know, the thing that's sealed up. Now, I'll admit, having watched like a video on them, I'll admit they do find a sadly remarkable amount of still perfectly fine food. But like you're out there traipsing around in the dumpster. Like it's a weird
this really makes me sick.
But yeah, if you find the right, if you can go at the right times, if you know when they throw shit away, you can usually find pretty still good quality foods. Yeah. I mean,
you know that.
But they, there was some kind of like Vice, you know, video or Vice, you know, so one of those like media outlets did a whole expose on it, like a 10-minute piece. And it was very, some people dumpster dive. But I didn't know it became like a hipster thing, you know, where there was a title and
like a hipster thing.
It was like more middle-aged folks and they were all different, like all different races, more women than men by far. And
They're better at picking out the quality.
Probably so. Yeah. But one was like a professor or something. She was definitely not broke. Like she owned an apartment in Manhattan.
Well, that makes sense because there are those women and men that have a perfectly good life and can afford anything. And they go in and they fucking steal. I mean, go and buy a dress and or hide jewelry or.
Well, I think they do that for the rush of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there's a weird rush. There has to be some kind of
adrenaline rush.
Oh, I'm getting free food. Look, a Whopper. I got like 3/4 of a Whopper.
When you hit the pull down and you hit a win on the slot machine.
I guess, but it's like me if I could mow somebody else's lawn. Oh, God, it's the same thing.
And make it look right.
See, I'll eat someone else's if I'm there with them and I know them. Like if I'm there with a friend and we order some dinner and then they do and they do too many key bumps or something and they're like, man, I can't even eat this. Then I'll take that off. I'll take those French fries off your hands, but not off of off of three tables down, you know?
Larry Bea, when we were in Atlantic City, he walked up and I had got those little individual cheeseburger appetizer things. He walked up and he looked at my plate and I went, grab one. And he was like, cool. I'll share my food.
You know what? Like all my black friend comics always come up and take my fries. Oh yeah, I'll take that wing, or I'll take whatever I got. And I'm like, all right, that's just not all. Okay, that was a stereotype. But there's a lot of them, my friends, that always take. They're like, Christine always has the good food, and she doesn't eat it. We're gonna get over there, and that it's just a thing. But Larry Bea will sleep in a dumpster because it's. That's just what he does.
I think, like, Larry just wakes up, like, ready to go in the morning. Like, because when I produce his show, and, you know, now we do it at, like, noon or whatever, but we used to do it at 10 a.m. And, I mean, he'd come to my place at 9:15, like he was shot out of a cannon. I was like, hey,
well,
I appreciate that.
Well, there's sometimes that I would stay up, because I don't sleep right. We were discussing that earlier. Mm-hmm. There's sometimes that I had stayed up all night, right? All night. And it was, like, 5 or 6 in the morning, and he's fucking posting on Twitter and shit. And then I messaged him and I went, what the fuck? Like what? And he goes,
he tags me and everything. Stop tagging me. I'm not in this show. Like, get off here. I'm not coming to your show unless I'm on it. Like, he always tags me and then sends me direct messages of these weird things. I'm like, if you're going to tag me, then put me on it, dummy.
Larry, there you go. Get little Miss Christine on there. And then you can tag her if you'd like.
Yeah.
Well, if she gives the okay.
I'm hoping he can get the one going again down in Wall Street. He used to do the Comedy Attic. Shout out to, I forget the bar name now. But that was a good one. He was getting some, I think, Christine, did you do that one before, I think?
Yeah.
I think I saw you there. Back in full March.
Last year.
Yeah, last. Yeah. That was like the week before everything.
Was that the week before everything?
Yeah, because it was my girl's birthday the night of Larry's last produced show there, because I remember we were celebrating and stuff like that after the show.
Was it like March 13th?
Yeah, precisely.
No, it was like March 9th, I think.
I might have seen Christine there at a previous date, but it was only there for 3 or 4 weeks before everything hit the fan.
That was a good show. That was fun.
Those were fun.
It's like March 13th was like the last real weekend.
Friday.
It seems like.
Yeah.
That's when I fled.
That'll go down in infamy.
Yeah.
I hope not. God forbid.
I think we're getting ready to turn the corner here and get back to, you know, regular.
Well, I was driving earlier. Part of the reason we were a little late doing some stuff was me running to go get fucking printer ink. And, so I'm driving, and everybody here in Indiana, you know, the sun's out today, and people are driving with their windows down, and they're like, I'm fucking cool, you know, it's spring, woo, we've been stuck.
I'm going to get out the motorcycle.
Not one motherfucker turned on a turn signal. One guy pulled out in front of me, and I'm trying to be calm because I'm like, I got to get back home. We got to do the podcast. Oh, my God, she's going to be upset because, again, I'm worried about making mistakes, and oh my fucking God, right? So I'm like, I kid you not, I could have gotten 6 wrecks just from driving, what?
To Best Buy.
2 mile. Yes, that's far. How far is that?
5-6 miles.
5 to 6 wrecks. People just pulling out in front of me, acting all lackadaisically, and all I just wanted to go is, what happened to people using their fucking turn signal? What happened to looking in your blind spot as you're getting over? Spring is here. Be happy. Enjoy driving. I love driving. I like the wind in my hair. But there are fucking kids and vehicles around you. Be the defensive fucking driver.
She always wanted a LeBaron convertible.
The people not signaling is what gets me here, because, like, I drive and I have a bike, like a bicycle, not a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I ride really aggressively. I go really fast. I don't always wear what I should. And, like, I can handle anything. You're looking 2-3 car lengths ahead of you, and as long as you're paying attention, I can handle all of it, except I just know one of these days someone's going to take that surprise right without hitting that signal, and before they even know it, they're like, oh shit, someone said take this turn late, right? And I'm just gonna eat the side of that thing. It's New York City, and my only hope is that it's a city-owned vehicle, and I can cash it into the tune of $120,000. But outside of that, it's, you know, I just feel like it's an inevitability.
It is an inevitability.
Or you're gonna eat a door or something.
Their car door.
I've luckily dodged the doors. It's funny because one woman tried telling me that you're supposed to ride toward traffic, and I'm like, maybe we should ask that cop up there. And then she shut up and went into the store. Yeah. But like,
I thought that was a rule that you were supposed to drive towards traffic.
No, you're a vehicle. When you're a bike, you're.
But I don't ride a bike.
Okay, if you're hit like this, if you're like riding along at 30 miles an hour, and this guy's doing 40, well, he only hits you at 10 miles an hour. If you're going, this guy's going 50, and you're going 30, you get hit at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why sex is better this way, right?
Yes. But so, yeah.
It's to the balls.
Yeah, like I hit a pothole at night one time, went over the handlebars, broke my wrist, needed surgery, fractured the elbow, and mashed up my shoulder. And here's how freaking fickle it is. We talked to a lawyer, right? Because I'm a litigious guy, but come on, you know? So I talked to a lawyer, and he tells me, well, if the pothole is on this database at whatever.com, we could probably get you $50,000 to $100,000. Maybe more. If it's not on there, sorry, bud. You know what I mean? So unfortunately for me, it wasn't. It wasn't a prior reported and ignored thing. But apparently there's this. It's like apparently if you're willing to take a header, you could reference this map and, you know.
Make a pretty penny.
It's there. I'm just saying. But it was very painful.
I hit it. It broke my dick.
I was driving once in my little Ford Escort. It was a cute little red Ford Escort. And the bridge above us, I was driving, then all of a sudden, you know, when something hits you and you don't know what it is and you about piss and shit your hand, some big thing and my windshield cracked. Something was hanging off of the railroad tracks to where it hit my windshield. It didn't break it, it cracked it. And I didn't know how to, because they could have, that was a city thing.
It didn't break it, it cracked it.
It wasn't someone's heel, was it?
I meant it didn't break the whole fucking thing out because it sounded so loud that the goddamn windshield should have like broke on me.
Christine tried saying something there, but it got muted out. What'd you say?
Sorry.
That's fine.
I thought it was somebody hanging.
That's what I was wondering. Like, it wasn't a foot, right? Oh, yeah.
We've went from cutting ourselves to hanging.
I mean, I'm a dark person. Oh, by the way, I do got to get my kid in like
20. Okay, well, then that we're going to end on this actually right now. Thank you for coming on the show. You're amazing. We'll let you go.
Thank you.
Give that little cutie, just all kinds of love. And hopefully, I know you're not going to Austin, but hopefully I can get, or we can get to New York and I get to meet you in person too.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Cause you're just so
time there, and watch out for the cocaine. Don't get near it.
Okay. I won't.
Fentanyl in it in America.
Okay. Yeah. I like fentanyl though, when I'm getting surgery.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Be safe out there.
All right. Well, thank you so.
Spin cycle.
Don't worry.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks, Christine. Take care.
Bye.
Hi there, old man.
Hey.
How are you doing today?
Doing all right. That was a lovely woman you had on the show today.
Christine is very sweet.
Yeah, and she's funny too.
Yes.
Yeah. So, did you stick to the standard procedure of your show today?
No, not at all. But you know what?
How'd the news go?
I've got plenty of pages of it, but you know what? We can use it next week when I'm gone.
How'd the relationships go?
We talked a lot about relationships.
Sure you did.
Fuck you, old man.
Well, sometimes you just gotta go with the flow. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Like, sometimes if you gotta piss during sex, you just gotta piss. You know, you gotta go with the flow.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't break for piss.
No, I don't. I don't break for piss either, I guess.
How do the ladies feel about that, old man?
You gotta do what you gotta do. You're in the moment. Fuck it.
Ew. I love you too, old man.
Yep. Thanks for watching today.